Sportscast Sports Talk 101 on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. Sportscast Sports Talk 101.
Discuss, debate, entertain, and loud.
Sportscast Sports Talk 101.
Yo.
What's going on? We are a little late, but that's what it is.
Yeah, technical stuff.
We got tech issues. It's one of my shows, so you automatically know somehow there's going to be tech issues, whether it's me, Ray. Somehow my stuff transitions to the West Coast, and I just send those tech issues out that way. And as the title says, it's all Deshaun Watson.
Well,
there's a few other. I have a few other things we'll chit chat about, but I know the bulk of the show.
I just want to say congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche for winning the Stanley Cup. I just wanted to put that out there, folks.
I was waiting. I admit I was wrong on that one. I did not get that. I did not call. It was a good game. It was a good matchup, though. I will admit that.
Well, you know, honestly, there was, I think it was not the last game, but the game before that, there was a lot of guys on the ice, and they didn't call it against Colorado. And so that kind of, you know.
Yeah, there. I mean, but it was a good matchup overall. I do also want to say this is tied to WWE wrestling. John Cena, 20 years. He's been with the WWE. I watched a couple of bits here and there on Monday night. I was hoping they were bringing him in for a storyline with Theory.
Right.
And sadly, that wasn't. But 20 years, that's a long time. He's like, dude, I'm 45. And I was like, oh, he's old.
Dude.
They showed clips when he first entered. And it was when he was going, he mouthed off to Kurt Angle. I was like, oh my God, look how young that kid was then. I'm just
he used to rap. I actually bought the rap album, the John Cena rap album.
Nice. Yeah, I was just like, and he was telling the story. I loved how the you can't see me thing came about. Like, literally, it was just because his brother told him to do it on TV. Exactly. basically dared him to do that because he didn't think it was like they used to do these pranks and stuff. And apparently, he dared him to do that live. He's like, I'll do it on TV. And then it became a thing. So I was like, I didn't realize like people I grew up watching in wrestling, Cena, it's been 20 years, Randy Orton, 20 years. I'm like, my God, where's the time go? Yeah. I said, and then I'm like, why the hell can't I be in that kind of shape? I'm younger than them. I should be able to do that stuff. And then I want to say shout out to my boy, Scary Terry. Terry McLaurin just finally got his deal done with Washington. 3 years, $70 million. And I'm just like, you know what? There was a part of me that was worried about that. But knowing that he's like literally the best receiver Washington's had since. I don't want to go all the way back to Art Monk because Santana Moss was good for a few years. We've had good. I mean, most of the receivers we've had have been good. We've had ups and downs. We had, you know, Michael Westbrook.
Santana Moss was a beast.
Lavernius Coles was good for like a season.
Oh, God. Yeah.
A lot of the receivers that Washington got at that were good, these big time receivers, was always after they were past their prime. Santana Moss actually did really well because I remember it was him and we had DeSean Jackson. We had those two with Cousins.
Yes.
The only time that I remember Washington having two receivers with over 1,000 yards receiving, and then we traded them both away.
Well, I actually Santana Moss was really good when he was a Jet.
Lavernius Coles was a Jet also, and that was when he was really good.
Yes, it was.
The only one that I wasn't too keen on was Westbrook because Westbrook was kind of like he was kind of like Randy Moss, but not with the skill set because he would run, and when he didn't want to run to catch the ball, he would be like and just give up. But we've had good receivers. McLaurin is one of the best that we've had in a long time. It's been a while, and I'm glad that they. He held out. I wasn't glad that he held out, but I'm glad that they paid him. And apparently, it's a three-year extension worth $23.3 million per year in new money. The deal comes with a total of $53.15 million in guarantees, $34.6 million fully guaranteed upon signing, and a $28 million signing bonus. And he was set to enter the final year of his contract with a base salary of $2.79 million. That's a big old pay raise he got.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
But yeah, Rivera, I'm glad that Rivera is the one that's in charge there. And as much as I don't care too much for Carson Wentz, I'm glad that he's got McLaurin there, because if anybody could help Wentz with, you know, resurrecting his career, I think it's going to be McLaurin, because now you've got a good receiver. With the $23.3 million in new money, puts McLaurin easily in the top 10 wideout per year average. The Commander's wideout becomes the 12th receiver to leapfrog the $20 million per year mark. Nine receivers have signed contracts for at least $20 million a year this offseason. That's a lot of receivers.
That is.
Getting money and stuff. So there was that news. The other one that I was going to briefly touch, Aqib Talib is joining Amazon as part of its Thursday Night Football broadcast. They have got a stacked lineup of people working there.
Can we first say rest in peace to Tony?
Yes. Yeah. That was, oh man. The Goose, when I read that, I was
you remember when he was a sideline reporter?
And that's where I remember, you know, his playing days, but I really remember him from the sideline doing all the reporting and talking and all of that, because he had fun and he got to joke around and stuff. And it was a lot of fun to watch him off the field, but not, you know, he was still on the field, but not. So it was really cool to watch him there. And shout out. Yeah. That's a big loss, I think, in my opinion.
I mean, 55, folks, that's young.
Yeah. He wasn't old, but I mean, he was up there, but it's just one of those, it's one of those that you just don't want to see happen. And he was a good guy, and it's sad, you know, to see that he had unexpected thing happen, but you know,
take care. The NFL will.
Yeah.
Get 50, go to your doctor, get your checkups in my condolences to his family and all his teammates and stuff like that. He was actually, somebody that I respected. I like seeing him on the sidelines, and I think he worked with the Fox. Was it the Fox Network?
I think it was Fox. I don't know if he ever did any CBS games. Right. I'm not sure. I'd have to look on that one.
Yeah, but let's see. What's up with your boy Snyder?
He's in hiding. I got no comment, but he is in hiding.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. You ain't above the law, bro. And you can't. Billionaire, you can't go to jail. Billionaires go to jail.
We're gonna see. If we want, we can start the shift towards what everybody is really interested in, and that's. What the title says is most of this show is going to be about Watson. But I will say there were a lot of interviews recently in the last few days with Baker Mayfield on a potential Browns reconciliation. He was on a podcast, I think, or just an interview somewhere. And they basically said, he pretty much came out and said, no, that ain't happening. Both sides, we kind of saw the writing was on the wall the moment they contacted Houston. And I think that's what severed ties with him. I'm looking to see what he said. I think so on Tuesday, he was asked on Tuesday during his youth football camp if a reconciliation could be reached. Mayfield didn't scoff, but his answer was a clear indicator that he's preparing for the next stage of his career. I think, and he said, quote, I think for that to happen, there would have to be some reaching out, but we're ready to move on, I think, on both sides. Mayfield added, I think it's pretty obvious the mutual decision on both sides is to move on. I'm thankful for my 4 years in Cleveland. And look, I am glad that he's ready to move on, because I do not think that he needs to stay there. That was a clear slap in the face. The amount of work that he put in hurt last season. And then
they just outright. Ain't no way in hell. The way that they treated this man played hurt.
Yeah.
He could have opted out and got surgery, but he stayed and played and actually did a good job for the team. And then you're going to go get this serial. We'll talk about that later, but you're going to go get this other guy. And now that he's going to get suspended, y'all, they're going to make an example out of him. He ain't playing. Look, he's not going to be playing this year. I don't think so. I think he's gone.
No, there is no, I know that the NFLPA is saying that they're going to defend him, which that's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. But I don't see any way around how he's going to pull this off. I've been following the news. He had his hearing. He had a hearing today. Sources are saying that it's going to continue through at least Wednesday, tomorrow. Yeah. So basically what's going on is Watson had a hearing before the NFL and the NFL Players Association jointly there was an appointed disciplinary officer, Sue Robinson, has concluded for the day. And this article came out about at 6:04 Central Standard Time, so 7:00 Eastern. But the hearing is scheduled to resume Wednesday and may continue even longer than that, a source has stated. Watson's been accused by 25 women of actions ranging from sexual assault to inappropriate behavior during massage sessions. Now, I did also find out that the four that were supposedly being worked on, all four of those women refused. They refused the payout.
Thank you.
They refused the payoff.
That's right.
They also stated that, and one of the four was the first woman to come forward.
Yes.
Now, there's also, I was reading, digging around, and I came up with I found some other interesting stuff, which I found is that during the hashtag MeToo movement, which, you know, we all know what that was about, most of it was tied with Weinstein, whatever, doesn't matter, he's a criminal. that regardless if you pay somebody hush money and you sign an NDA or whatever, there is a law that was passed that says that they can still take your ass to court. Yep. So it doesn't matter that he paid 20 women off. They're still going to take his ass to court. That, like, you don't just get out of that and think that everything's all right now. Like that. I'm glad that the four of them said, no, we're not taking your money. We don't want that crap. And one of the articles that came from the Washington Post, it said nearly 5 years after hashtag Me Too, there was a bipartisan group, which that's, you know, that should be headlines right there.
Right.
We all know how in the United States, Congress don't ever work together. But a group of lawmakers introduced legislation that would ensure workers can come forward with reports of sexual misconduct, even if they sign common confidentiality agreements. And that was basically what Watson did. He paid the 20 women a buttload of money,
right,
probably what the Browns paid him. He just passed that around and to silence them. Well, Congress is trying to push that to change. So I don't know where it's at.
Well, I can tell you this right now. The overwhelming evidence collected indicating that the Houston Texans enable Watson's behavior. So let's just get this straight. Texas, when he played for Texas, they knew about this and they enabled him to still be on the roster. They knew this stuff was going on and they enabled him to do this stuff. The evidence is overwhelming. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't think you're going to see this man in a Browns uniform this year.
Yeah, I don't see it either. Let me see. So yeah, the hearing that was scheduled to resume went Monday. So we got that. The NFL is expected to push for a suspension of at least a year. They're not saying that. So the bare minimum would be 1 year he would be out. But I think the goal is to get him out longer than a year. Now, obviously, you got the NFLPA that's going to probably say, well, you know, let's try to help him and rehabilitate him. If it was one or two or three times, I could understand rehabilitation. The guy is a serial person that's doing this. You got 25 women.
Yep.
All and every single, and it would be one thing if all the, if even if it was 25 women, it would be one thing if none of their stories lined up or it was different places and things like that. Every single one of them is for the same type of thing. They're all claiming the same thing happened. All of them are massage parlors. I'm like, what are the odds that that it's just a one-time? No, dude, this is a serial sex offender that should not even be allowed in the NFL. It says there's no set timeline for Robinson's decision once the hearing ends. Once she rules, Watson will have the option to appeal, which we already know he's going to. I mean, I can't, there's no way that I could see him not, you know, because he thinks he didn't do anything wrong. The NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, could either rule on that appeal or call on an independent ruler. One of the 25 lawsuits was dropped after the judge ruled the petition had to be amended with the plaintiff's name. So I'm going to assume that that one will get resubmitted. Right. Watson and 20 of the other plaintiffs agreed to settle the lawsuits last week. I don't know how long that will actually happen. You know, what will go there. I think, you know, this could still escalate. Regardless, on Monday, one of the four active civil lawsuits was amended to name the Houston Texans as a defendant. That day, attorney Tony Busby, who at one time represented all 25 women, said in a statement that the overwhelming evidence collected indicating, oh yeah, that's what you were talking about. Two grand juries in Texas declined to pursue criminal charges against Watson earlier. I'm curious as to why nothing ever came out and said why they declined. Like, was it a lack of evidence or was it his name? And, you know, he's a big shot NFL quarterback. Is that why? I don't want to throw the race card out, but was it that? Could that have been also? I really don't know. I'm surprised that they dropped it, given the amount of evidence on him that I mean, you could have easily had a case.
It's who you know.
And yeah,
it's who you know.
Yeah, that I think is exactly what it was. The lawsuit filed against Houston Texans alleges the team enabled Deshaun Watson's behavior. Let's see. So they were named as a defendant. Let's see if I can pull anything in here.
I mean, even when he was on the team and they knew all this stuff was going on, they should have had this man removed off this team.
Busby said, we believe the Texans knew or most certainly should have known of Watson's conduct. Beyond that, we believe the filing speaks for itself. I agree with that wholeheartedly. You can't tell me that they didn't know what was going on.
Let me give you a little story. Let me take you back in the past real quick. We all know what happened over at Penn State. Remember Penn State?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And you remember what happened. They even removed the statue. The famous coach, they had the statue removed. Because you know why? Because he knew that his assistant coach was doing stuff that was horrendous and bad.
Oh, yeah.
And the school knew. And people knew. Just the same as Texas. They knew what Watson was doing. Man, that's somebody's aunt. Somebody's daughter, somebody's wife, somebody's loved one, that this man is forcing them to do fellatio on him or do other sexual acts on him. When a woman says no means no. Don't matter if you're a big time quarterback, does not matter. He committed a crime. Plus, he's going to massage therapists or having massage therapists come to him. All the acts are the same. The Texans knew about this, and they did not do anything to this man, but trade him to the Browns. So I can't blame the Browns. The Browns said, hey, okay, hey, we'll take him. We need a quarterback. We need a quarterback. But they're just as bad, too, because they know he was a piece of crap, too, and they didn't care.
But they ignored all of the issues, which is what surprises me the most, because I mean, good God, you had Antonio Brown having similar issues.
25 though.
But well, yeah, Brown didn't have 25. Brown had way less. I mean, he had like 3, and he just has some mental disorders. Some mental disorder. I think he's like bipolar or something. But yeah, Watson, this is a completely. If he wasn't a football player, and he's just, you know, he'd already be locked up. Like there's no question. But I think it's because of who he is. It said, so one of the pieces from this ESPN article was, in November of 2020, the lawsuit states Watson used Instagram to meet and arrange a massage with the plaintiff. I believe this might be one of the four that didn't accept the hush money. Arranged a massage with the plaintiff, even though she was only a massage therapy student at the time. She wasn't even a full massage therapist. She was a student learning. At the time, Watson could have arranged a massage with a more experienced therapist through the Texans. Watson ultimately met the woman at her mother's home in Manville, Texas. That's even worse. Mm-hmm. Brought his own small towel to the massage and, according to the lawsuit, proceeded to expose himself and sexually assault her. He knew exactly what he was doing with that one. And come on now, like, you really, there's the lawsuit describes it as Watson's behavior as a part of a disturbing, predatory, and incriminating pattern with a multitude of female victims. Of course it is. That's exactly what that is. It's a serial assaultist, or I guess whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Monday's lawsuit also included more information about the criminal investigation of Watson. They still really aren't discussing why the grand jury's declined, but Houston Police Detective Kamisha Baker, the lead detective in Watson's case, testified in a civil deposition that Watson's behavior was escalating with each massage session, and that the woman who sued the Texans on Monday had a really powerful and compelling account. So she obviously has enough that they could bring a criminal case, I think, is what I'm gathering here. The woman's report was one of 10 that ultimately were investigated by the police, Baker acknowledged in her deposition. When asked in her deposition, was there any doubt in your mind as the investigating officer that a crime had occurred? And she replied, no. So I don't know why they haven't pursued it, but I'm wondering, somehow at some point he's going to get charged. There's no freaking way he gets away with this. So the Texans, the Texans are being sued mostly because they allowed this to happen. There's no way that the Texans are that blind that they didn't know what was going on.
This happened on their watch. It's just like the girls that did gymnastics. Well, it was that guy Nacer or whatever when he was.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's another one.
When he was doing horrible things to young girls, he's in jail. He's in jail, you know. So, yep. this.
So man, he was actually, what it's saying is there was let's see. Despite this behavior, yet another woman questioned Watson's behavior and threatened to expose Watson on the internet. The Texans organization, rather than investigate and address Watson's behavior, instead provided Watson with an NDA to protect himself going forward from the random women he was finding on Instagram. So he wasn't looking like businesses. He was just that's an internet predator right off the bat. That clearly is exactly that's the definition of a predator, an internet. I mean, my God, there are TV shows that
Want to catch a predator.
With Chris.
All right, how you doing? Take a seat down there.
I wouldn't be surprised. And this is more of a comedy thing, but I would not be surprised to see South Park make an episode of this. I could totally see it.
Well, I could see, you know, definitely. First of all, it's not a funny matter.
It's not.
But it's how the Texans, these companies got to be held accountable because they try and sweep stuff under the rug so this stuff don't get out because they're trying to protect their brand.
You basically showed you knew what was the fact that they gave him an NDA.
Yes.
Tells you right off the bat they knew what was going on.
Yeah. Don't say
you chose to give it here. Here's an NDA. Protect yourself. We know nothing. Yeah. We see nothing. Yeah. We speak here. It's the three fucking monkeys doing that shit. Like
exactly.
The lawsuit states that Watson admitted that Brent Nakara, A former Secret Service agent and the Texans director of security provided the NDAs. Like, this goes so high up. This is a big thing.
Right.
And of course, you know, the NFL is going to decline to comment. We can't say anything. The lawsuit also alleges, let's see, Watson used the NDA for multiple massage sessions from random women he found on Instagram, telling the women that in order to get paid, she needed to sign the Texans NDA.
Right.
No, that was so you could sexually assault them. That's all that was for. The lawsuit also alleges Watson sexually assaulted women during massage sessions at the Houstonian Hotel in a room the Texans helped Watson secure, and that the team provided Watson with a massage table. So that clearly puts them right in the middle of all this.
Yes.
Like, the NFL, I don't know what the hell is going on, because you had the Dolphins thing going down, and now the Texans you got the Texans and the Browns. I'm like, my God. The league interviewed Watson over multiple days earlier this summer. You know, and Watson said, well, I spent hours with the people they brought down. I did all my quests, answered all my questions. I'm innocent. I didn't do anything. The New York Times reported this month that Watson booked with at least 66 different women over 17 months from the fall of 2019 through the spring of 2021. The list of 66 comprises the 24 women who have filed lawsuits against them. So sure. there's additional women that haven't even come out and spoken against him.
I'm going to put it like this, and I'm just keeping it real. Maybe there's women out there that, you know, did the, you know what, got paid, whatever. And he just feeling himself like, well, let me just keep on going. If I could do this, somebody, and look, just because somebody said, yeah, doesn't mean the next woman's going to say, you know, she told you no, and then you tried like, oh, nah, you're going to do it. And it's like, no, no. So,
this is just ridiculous.
But he's got to face the responsibility. He's got to face the consequences. And these teams, you know, the Texans knew about it.
Yeah.
That's one thing I have to give the Cleveland Brown. That this didn't happen on their watch. This was on the Texans' watch. This is on the NFL. They knew what the hell was going on. But still, this man is like.
He's still out free. The fact is, how do we know he's still not, he's not doing this now in Cleveland? You know, I get. You know, they said the judge's decisions is expected this week. So we'll find probably by Friday we'll know. I can guarantee you whatever the judge decides is going to be breaking news almost immediately.
Okay, all right. Here we have Judge Aaron. Judge Aaron, what is the verdict? What are you going to do?
Guilty, guilty, guilty.
What would you give him? You give him a 3-day suspension, 4-day suspension?
Oh, hell no. He's getting in. He's getting a
lifetime ban. What would you do?
I would give him a year. I would give him 2 years with a condition. If he wants to continue playing in the NFL, he needs to seek some kind of support. He needs to get some help. Do I think that the NFL is going to do that? As many players have had issues, you know, you had the whole Antonio Brown situation. I'm sure there were other, you know, Ray Rice. The list goes on. And we've seen that. We've seen the NFL suspend players for a year or longer. And it's always like drug related stuff or performance enhancing is what they call it. None of them, and then they come back. And guess what? They get suspended again for the same thing because they don't push them. They need to put a condition that says if you want to come back and play, you need, while you're suspended, you need a year of going to, you know, a treatment program or something, whether it's drugs. This, I don't know if a treatment plan can fix this. I don't know. I think he's going to, at the rate that was 66, if more of these women start coming out, especially if he gets a slap, if nothing happens. I can guarantee at some point he needs to. There could be a potential of a criminal.
I'm old school, man. I'm sorry, but enough's enough. I'm not giving this, you know what, a year. This guy needs to be gone.
I don't know if they would do a permanent.
He needs to be gone. Bro.
He does. No, no, no. He needs to be gone. I agree that he needs to be gone. It's the NFL and the NFLPA. I don't know if that would happen. And that's the messed up part of this whole situation. I just don't know if that's going
to
happen.
NFLPA, do your job. Go to the women. Go talk to the women and hear their story. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, goddamn.
I'm trying to see if I can find anything that was... the NFL insisted Watson be suspended indefinitely during Tuesday's hearing. Watson's lawyers argued there was no basis for that punishment.
Oh, no.
One of the articles I could come up with. And I'm just like, what? And the best thing out of this is that Watson's lawyers argued there's no basis for him to get punished that long. There's a comment that said, imagine Calvin Ridley getting a year for a $100 bet. Because remember, Ridley got, you know, got, he got, a, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Got, that's happened to him for a bet of $100, but Watson skates free. How in the hell would that be allowed?
Do you see it don't add up? It's not, it's.
Yeah, I mean, so, or Kamara getting 6 for his fight, which has been thrown around. You know, and someone was like, well, what about Bob Kraft? Kraft ain't going nowhere. Kraft's got so much money and connections. Because remember, Kraft was that, you know, down in Florida.
Kraft went to a place and he got busted. Okay? He got busted. That is totally different. That's like, okay, he went and he tried to pick up a hooker or something. Okay?
Yeah.
This is a man that is going around. I mean, a predator. You know what the predator is, folks?
There's a comment here which is spot on, and it's soliciting a consensual prostitute versus sexual assault. Not that complicated. Both are illegal, but one has victims. That's the difference. That's what we have here. You 25, and somebody else said if each case gets its own punishment, that's 24 cases. Multiply that by a minimum 6 games a case. The word indefinite may be subjected to how long before he settles those cases, but he could be out permanently. He could be done. And somebody else actually shared this, which is interesting. Let's see. I'm going to try to pull this other clip. Under the NFL discipline policy, Deshaun Watson faces a minimum of 144 game suspension if there's discipline in all 24 cases. A recommendation of a year is like a gift. NFL to recommend indefinite suspension of at least a year for Watson. God. And so, you know, this other person was like, I expect him to not to receive discipline in all cases, only a few, if there is compelling evidence. The NFL is reportedly focused on 5 cases involving more serious allegations. However, if he got disciplined in all, it could still be a minimum of 30 games. And I'm just like, but this guy was kicked out of the league for a year because he placed a $100 bet for gambling. And literally most of these comments are like, dude, Calvin Ridley got suspended for a season for gambling. Watson's not playing this season. There's no way. I can't wrap my head around the fact that how, if Watson does not get out, is suspended for at least a year, Ridley is going to be pissed. Like that, there's no way you can do that then.
I would not suspend him. I would ban him.
Someone said 10 years.
I would.
Well, yeah, I agree that one.
The league. I would ban him from the league. I don't get there. You know what? There's a lot of young guys that deserve to play for the NFL. This guy right here does not deserve to represent the NFL.
Yeah.
When there's a football camp, hey, kids, gather around and let's talk to Watson. What a damn advice could he – I mean, you know what a role model is? Does he look like a damn role model
now? No, he does not.
Hell no, man.
That is the worst role model you could possibly want. You know? No part of that would I want that guy to be anywhere near kids, adults, anybody. And I'm not trying to be, I'm not, it's nothing against, this is strictly because this is a sexual predator that is preying on women. The fact that you're not even looking up business, you're using Instagram to find people. That right off the bat should have been the biggest red flag out of all of this. And the fact that they are not bringing that up, I don't understand that either.
They're trying to sugarcoat it. Like,
oh yeah,
it's like it's not that big of a deal, you know. I mean, come on.
I would love to see Stephen A. Smith talking about this because he doesn't hold back either.
No, but he did go off on Curry today.
Oh, I know.
Kyrie.
Oh, yeah. I watched the clip. I love watching his clips. Oh my God, it's so funny.
He, you know what? Stephen A. Smith was 100% right, but we'll say that. But
yeah,
you have a daughter, don't you?
Yeah, two.
I have a daughter. Dude, let me find out that some jerk was trying to force, something on my daughter. And
it would not be a pretty picture.
Just because he's a big time football player that makes money, that does not mean anything. This guy needs to answer.
I mean, there are people that will help him with that. It's just, you know, ain't gonna be the people he's looking on Instagram. They're gonna be people in, like, you know, a couple cells down. Bubba's gonna be looking for him.
Hey, he ain't Ray gonna like Rice, that. Hey, Ray Rice KO'd his wife in an elevator, folks. He ain't never been back to football, all right? And he put his hands on his wife. This man, these ain't even women that are his, like, I mean.
He has no connection to any of them.
No.
None.
No, but Ray Rice got ran out of the NFL.
Yep.
I ran out. I confess, I lost my cool. You know, me and my wife got in an argument, and, you know,
he owned up to it. I give him that.
This man's not owning up to nothing.
Look at Michael Vick. Vick went to fucking prison.
Prison, exactly.
But he came back and he earned the respect of the players. He lost everything. All his sponsors.
But guess what he had to do, though? He had to go to jail. To do the time.
And he did it. He did the time. He got the offer to play again. He got that ability. He probably got booed, but he started at the bottom as a backup, worked his way back to the top with the Eagles, got his sponsors back that he lost, and accepted it. Do I think that Watson's going to follow that path? I don't think so. I think he's more of the entitled prick kind that thinks he everything should be handed to him. And look at me, I'm Mr. Big Shot. I got all this money. Nothing's going to happen to me.
No, you have to stand. Look, the NFL has got to stand for something. Stand for something. I mean, good Lord. If you're going to go after somebody for deflate balls, are you going to go after a bunch of guys because they were getting paid to knock people out of games?
You went after somebody for placing a $100 bet.
Placing a $100 bet. And suspended
him for a year, but you're not going to – and we're just – right now we're speculating because
They're going to get this, man. But dang it, a year.
I don't think that's enough.
That's not enough. Not for that many. 25. No.
The problem is, even if they get a year, 2 years, 3 years, the appeal is what worries me, because 9 times out of 10, when they appeal stuff, something happens. Now, if they appeal and then more stuff keeps coming out, that may backfire on them. So I get that. I did. There was another thing that I pulled up. So the lawyer. This is not Watson. This is still, you know, legal nonsense with the NFL that that the NFL is facing. But I did see that a lawyer for the Washington Commanders owner, Dan Snyder, declined to accept the House Committee's subpoena again. I wonder why.
He'll be going.
Why would you just ignore and not accept a subpoena issued by the United States House Oversight Committee investigating allegations he fostered a toxic work culture in his organization.
Because you're hiding something.
Well, of course he is. The committee attempted to send this article came out yesterday, but the committee attempted to send the subpoena to Snyder's attorney via email on Friday, but one of Snyder's lawyers declined to accept it. Of course they did. Last week, the chair of the committee, Carolyn Maloney, a Democrat from New York, announced she would issue the subpoena for Snyder to be deposed by congressional investigators after his attorney repeatedly declined the committee's invitation to testify with the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, who appeared at a hearing last week. If you're not guilty and you're not hiding something, why wouldn't you accept it then? You got nothing to lose if you're innocent.
You ain't above the law, man. Not above the law.
I don't care if you're an NFL owner. You're still guilt. I mean, you're showing guilt by ignoring the subpoena. It's no different than Watson passing out a buttload of money to people, forcing them to sign NDAs to keep quiet. You're still showing signs of guilt there, buddy. Let's see. Snyder has not refused to appear for a deposition. This is what a spokesperson for Snyder said. The committee offered only one date, June 30th. Mr. Snyder's attorney is out of the country and unavailable on that date. Mr. Snyder's lawyer has provided alternative dates to the committee and looks forward to finding a path for Mr. Snyder's further cooperation and to address remaining due process concerns. Yeah, my ass.
I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. But you can't be in content of court.
Yeah, it says, so in the vast majority of cases, or quote, vast majority of cases, congressional subpoenas are served to and accepted by a subject's lawyer electronically, according to a Georgetown University's federal legislation clinic director and the Democratic staff director of the House Oversight Committee from 2011 to 2021. He told ESPN's, the committee also can have U.S. Marshals service subpoena in person at locations such as the subject's home or place of work. It's not totally unprecedented, but it's rare because it's usually unnecessary. Most lawyers accept the subpoena electronically. The fact that his lawyer, God, dog scratching the couch, I can hear it, that they're refusing it, I'm going to bet that this is going to turn into one of those rare cases where the government says, hey, U.S. Marshals, can you take this piece of paper over to this guy? He's ignoring it. Rapallo said Snyder can comply with the subpoena and be deposed by the committee's investigators, or he could plead the Fifth Amendment, which protects against self-incrimination. Other options include his attorneys filing a lawsuit in federal court challenging the subpoena. Rapallo added the committee also could decide to hold Snyder in contempt if he doesn't accept or comply. And I don't know what all they will do.
The NFL can also do something as well, because they're going to get the heat.
They've got Goodell has got so much shit he's dealing with.
He makes, but look, these, but you know how much he makes a year?
He makes No. I meant like the shitstorm that he's dealing with the NFL. And the public image of the NFL is being demolished. Like, I have never seen it. I thought, you know, we thought the big talk last year was, you know, Aaron Rodgers skipping practice and everybody thinking he was getting traded. And good God, man, they topped that one in a heartbeat with this storm. Yeah. You got Dan Snyder avoiding subpoenas and ignoring shit. You got the Deshaun Watson matter.
You know what makes me sick about Deshaun Watson is Watson says he has no regrets about any of his actions during any of the massage sessions. But he did say in June that he regrets the impact the allegation have had on the people around him. I do understand that. I do have regrets as far as the impact that it's had on the community and the people outside of just myself, he said, and that includes my family. This guy, that quote right there just shows you what he is, man.
Yeah.
Okay. He don't care, man. I saw a picture of Bill Cosby in a Deshaun Watson's number 4 Browns uniform throwing a football.
Oh, damn. That's bad.
I'm just saying.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying, man.
So we'll finish up with what do we got? Like, holy God, we only got like 10 minutes left, but we'll go a little longer since we started late. We'll do another 15 minutes. We'll try to light the mood now. On a lighter note, we've got some other NFL news, which is running backs Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell are going to be doing an exhibition boxing match in July. So, oh, you know, that'll be fun. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, they signed contracts for a heavyweight boxing exhibition on July 30th at Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. So I'm sure Ray will go watch those.
Bro, I'm not.
It's they'll be in a boxing ring for the first time. But since it's an exhibition, the fight won't officially mark their pro boxing debuts.
Frank Gore did that and got Frank Gore got his butt kicked.
You know. Yeah. So it says Peterson and Bell will meet on the undercard of Social Gloves 2, an event promoted by YouTube star.
Yes.
Austin McBroom. No, Austin McBroom. McBroom will take on fellow YouTuber Ann Eason Gibb in the main event. I don't know who either of those are. Rapper Blueface will fight former NBA player Nick Young on the undercard.
So Nick Young got his butt kicked by Jake Paul. If you guys missed that.
I probably did.
He got his butt kicked.
Let's see. Is there anything else that was funny? Oh, yeah. So this one's not funny. This is Marlon Briscoe was the first black starting quarterback in the AFL, passed away on Monday at age 76. Yeah, he became the first black starting quarterback in the American Football League more than 50 years ago. His daughter, Angela Marriott, told the Associated Press that Briscoe, 76, died of pneumonia at a hospital in Norwalk. I don't know if I said that right, but it's in California. He'd been hospitalized with circulation issues in his leg. So he was from Omaha, Nebraska, was a star quarterback at Omaha University before the Broncos drafted him as a cornerback in the 14th round in 1968. Briscoe told the team he'd return home to become a teacher if he couldn't get a tryout at quarterback. Damn, right. That's one way to get your tryout. So Denver agreed to an audition, and the 5'10" Dynamo, nicknamed the Magician, nearly rallied the Broncos to victory as a reserve against the Boston Patriots on September 29th before earning the historic start on October 6th. He made an immense contribution to the sport. I hope he continues to get recognized for the contributions that he made. That's a big thing because that was late 60s. You didn't see we're talking before the NFL was a thing. You didn't really see a lot. I mean, I'm betting there wasn't anybody, not even close to being quarterback, I'm guessing. Briscoe started 5 games that season. He was runner-up for AFL Rookie of the Year after passing for 1,589 yards and 14 touchdowns and rushing for 308 and 3 touchdowns. That's actually games. That's 5 games. There's quarterbacks now that can't even do that. And you're talking late 60s, so defenses were they're not the defenses of today. They're right. The defenses that if you got hit, they come. It's like a bus running you over. They were brutal back then, and that's some pretty good stats there.
Yeah, man, you remember the old Denver Bronco logo, man, the horse going through the.
Oh gym. Yeah, I missed that remember one. That?
God, yeah.
I saw Brady's was seems to be pissed off that he never got to play in the with the red Patriots jersey that they brought back. I did see that stuff that was announced.
yeah.
So let's see. Denver didn't give him a chance to compete for quarterback job in 1969, so he asked to be released. He became a Pro Bowl receiver with the Bills. James Harris was Briscoe's roommate with the Bills in 1969, and Briscoe helped Harris become the first black quarterback in the AFL to open a season as a starter. Damn.
Yeah.
That's pretty good when you got your roommate and you're helping him out. So, in 1974, Harris played for the Rams, and became the first black quarterback to win an NFL playoff game. He was also Pro Bowl MVP that season. And that would have been because, you know, that was the time when the Pro Bowl actually was something. and you could, you know, hit players because it was after the Super Bowl. So you had the Super Bowl, then you had the Pro Bowl, and players just played the same way.
Yeah, I don't even watch the Pro. I used to watch the Pro Bowl. I don't watch the Pro Bowl anymore.
The moment I saw that you had Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders picking players, I was like, the hell is this fantasy football nonsense? What are they, they like? And then they're like, well, we're going to do it in Honolulu. Then we're going to go to my, you know, Florida. I'm like, what? Yeah. This is a duck. What the shit? You may as well just start picking different. You may as well just scrap it at this point. So it says, Briscoe said, I grew up in the 50s and the 60s when all that stuff was rampant. Oh, this was Briscoe remained. Oh, because he was Marlon was a pioneer who shattered barriers, making history as the first black starting quarterback in the Super Bowl era. He paved the way for countless others and created an indelible legacy, including through our Marlon Briscoe Diversity Coaching Fellowship. Well, after his playing days, Briscoe remained outspoken about racial injustice. He was proud to have moved the needle in 1968, but he told the Associated Press in 2018 he was disappointed that many strides made in his day had been undone. I grew up in the 50s and 60s when all that stuff was rampant, but you knew where you stood. Briscoe said, today you thought all those attitudes were non-existent or filtered away to some degree, but with the Trumpisms, his philosophy has brought out of the woodwork that old-time thought process that's scary. It really is. But and I get what he's talking about there. I mean, that's more of the political stuff that we don't want to dive into. But because that we go to Jeff's channel, Jiznak, whatever you want to call him. He loves to talk politics. You know, he's all about American politics there. You can check him out on YouTube. but no, like there's so many players, all sports. There, you know, you had Jackie Robinson. Mm-hmm. And I think the AFL, the players, some of these players in the AFL are so underrated because you don't hear about them. It's all, you know, NFL this, NFL that. Yeah. And the AFL was to me, the AFL was the standard
Raiders
because it was a different league compared to what we've got now. Even with the NFL, I think it was a different league. Look, Deebo Samuel's among San Francisco's four looming issues. Have you heard anything about, are they keeping
he's being good, he's being quiet, and he's doing what he's supposed to do because he knows he can't, they got a contract.
Well, I meant for more for the because you got the Jimmy G. I'm like, what? Like I know they were saying he's staying away as he continues to rehabilitate his surgically repaired right shoulder.
Right.
Trey Lance got all the reps with the starting offense and was present for voluntary portion of the offseason.
Yeah.
So it's good to see that Lance is getting all of that work. That's the good thing.
I am here to discuss the highlight of the weekend, the girl flipping the water bottle during the Yankees being a no-hit. Jeff, get out of here, Jeff. Get out.
The show's over, Jeff. We're done.
Yeah.
So I got a quick question. Where do you think Baker Mayfield and Jimmy will play in 2022? Or do you think they'll be stuck with the teams they're at right now?
I could see Jimmy probably going to the Seattle Seahawks. And
what do you think, Baker?
This sounds crazy, man. Okay, bye. This sounds crazy, but I don't know, man. Could he go back and play for the Browns? I don't know.
There's talk. I heard there was a lot.
They still owe this man $18 million something.
There was a lot of talk, though, recently between the Browns and I don't know if it was Seattle or if it was Carolina. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I know I came across a couple of articles about that.
I mean, they got to trade him. They got to get rid of him.
Well, the 53-man roster came out for the 49ers, what was it, 8 days ago? Mm-hmm. The projection includes just two quarterbacks. So, because how many do they have? They have obviously Trey Lance, Jimmy G. Is there anybody else that I'm unaware of that are currently on the team?
No.
Well, there you go. So, I just don't understand how, like, that is so much money to pay a guy to just sit the bench and hope that, you know, unless they really don't have faith in Trey Lance and
let me tell you something, man. The Browns are going to need a quarterback.
I think that the Browns and the Niners are holding on to them because they know that somebody's going to need a quarterback at some point in the season. There's going to be teams that are going to, somebody's going to go down and you're going to need a quarterback. And guess what? We've got two healthy quarterbacks here that are raring to go. Oh man, another 49er passed away. Jeez.
Yeah, he was like 90 something.
Yeah. Hall of Famer rusher McHelleny died at 93. I don't know anything about him. He's a halfback in the 50s, so it's probably why I didn't. 5,281 yards, 38 touchdowns in a 13-year career. You know, but though that's a thing, like those were power runners back in the 50s, in the 60s. You had to be built and tough to do that kind of ground game back right. then. It ain't the running games you see today.
Nah, even in the rain and the snow and the mud.
Oh my God, that was what why I always wanted to play football. Watching those kind of games, watching those highlights. His 9-year run with the Niners that vaulted him to hurrying high to football stardom. Where is it? Oh, he was he had a career high 916 yards and 8 touchdowns on the ground in 1956. And that is that's a big thing. You got some serious talent to be able to. That's a lot of yards and touchdowns because
So we got a big game coming on July 3rd. It is the USFL championship.
Yep.
The Generals and the Stallions.
Yes.
So, Sunday, July 3rd, 7:30 PM on the, Eastern time on the Fox Network.
I didn't watch it over the weekend. I had family stuff going on. I know that disappointed Jeff, give him props, man. He was on top of things over the weekend. For tweeting stuff out and keeping updates on the sports stuff. I give
actually, let me scratch that. The Philadelphia Stars, who defeated the New Jersey Generals in the semifinals, will take on the Birmingham Stallions. So it's the Philadelphia Stars, the Generals.
Came out today. Huh.
The Stars are taking out the Stallions.
So there was another thing. I don't know how accurate this is because it's from the New York Post. So that's already a reputable, you know, it's like the Weekly World News type thing. Mm-hmm. But the Fox Sports-owned United States Football League has hired an investment bank, Allen & Company, to find minority investors to help fund the league's expansion, three sources stated. The Stars and the Birmingham Stallions will meet in the USFL Championship game, wrapping up the inaugural season.
Right.
Fox is turning to Allen & Company, which just advised the Denver Broncos on its record $4.65 billion sale to Walmart heir Rob Walton. Fox's plan is to raise between $150 million and $200 million. I mean, you got a good company to help you with that because, I mean, look how much the damn the Broncos sold for.
Right.
I mean, Jerry's probably pissed now because, you know, he's like, my team's worth more than that. Fox has a longstanding relationship with Allen & Company, and they advised us on setting up the financial structure of the league, which sets the USFL up for future growth as we head into the 2023 season and beyond. The USFL played all their games this season in Birmingham, Alabama. Next year, the league plans to have 2 to 4 cities host the games played by its 8 teams. They need to have the teams in all 8. If you're going to have 8 teams, you need them to play in their home city, not 2 or 4.
Yeah.
I mean, that right off the bat, how much money are you pissing away to transport all of these players all over, you know, whether it's all to Alabama every time or, you know, now you're going to add 2 or 4. Why don't you just suck it up? Find someone that's got pay a high school. Use a high school stadium if you have to. Jeez.
Well, gas does cost a lot, man.
I know, right? Yeah, that's true.
Like, they're like, we ain't busting traveling these guys, man. We gonna put you in this.
Well, and see, and that's But that's the thing when you're starting a new league, though. Like, that's the there. That is the, I think, one of the biggest differences when you're starting a new league compared to, like, you know, the NFL.
Right.
The NFL is a, who knows how much money they have, but they got enough. They don't have to worry about stuff like that. A source said this is a costly venture to get off the ground. Fox plans to keep the league going next year, even if it cannot find the right investor. Source said, and is controlling costs by using some of Fox's infrastructure, including its marketing team. USFL games have been sparsely attended, but ratings this first season on Fox, NBC, and the USA Network were higher than the more established Major League Soccer or even U.S. broadcasts of the U.S. Premier League.
Really?
Which I don't – and with MLS franchises now worth about $400 million each, the math goes – that the USFL with its eight teams could be worth at least $3.2 billion a few years down the road. That's not bad for a new league, though, if you think about it. I mean, that's a pretty good league for pricing. Sportico reported June 22nd that the 10-week USFL broadcast averaged about 695,000 viewers a game, which was much better than the 295,000 who watched MLS on the ESPN channels, according to Nielsen data. NBC's broadcast of Premier League averaged about 507,000 viewers. The valuation is in the eye of the beholder, a source said. With the process said, there is no direct comp. But, you know, it's just, and somebody's like, play the games in the home cities of the teams and just keep ticket prices low. As long as you cover the stadium rental costs, the revenue from TV and concessions can be used to pay salaries. Almost the same as, damn, whoever said this was actually pretty good there. Nailed it right, hit the nail on the head. Almost the same as the NFL does. Best USFL games involved Birmingham, whose fans showed up in the stands. And that's the thing. That when you had fans, all these fans, and you had a packed game, yes, the opening game was going to be packed. We all knew that. Mm-hmm. But any other time it was a packed house was when it was Birmingham's games.
Exactly.
Because they had home field advantage, which is why they always won.
And that's why they're in the championship.
Yep. But that's actually, whoever this was, that is a damn good idea. Playing them in the home cities, keep your as long as you're covering cost of the stadium, you can't tell me you're not going to make up the difference to cover other stuff from TV and concessions.
And you get the fans will come.
If it's in a home, a home city,
Oakland don't have no damn team right now, you know, because they went to Las Vegas. Let me tell you something. You put somebody in Oakland, I guarantee you, you're gonna get some people to come out.
Shoot, you would probably. St. Louis would love to host. Even if you don't, if you have a team near St. Louis, St. Louis would love to host football games.
Yeah.
Oakland would love to host football games.
Yeah,
that's just it. That and all it takes is literally all you got to worry about is just covering those stadium costs.
We got an empty Coliseum that I drive by, man, and it's just weird. I mean, I still hear baseball. I can hear the Oakland A's, but it's just weird that there's no football, like professional football.
How's Candlestick Park still a thing? Or is that gone?
Oh God.
Wait, bring that one back, man. Put a team there.
Nah, man, let me tell you. I was sitting on concrete, man. That was like, I went to a Niners game. No lie, I went to a Niners game, and my butt was on concrete, and it was cold. Probably one of the coldest games, man.
Growing up, I just watching the Jerry Rice and stuff. That's all I ever remember was watching the Niners, but you could see the baseball field. And
I went to a Cowboys Niners game, and that's when we had the guy that he lost his job to Patrick Mahomes.
Garcia?
Alex.
Oh no, Smith. Yeah, Alex Smith.
Alex Smith. So I watched Alex Smith go up against your boy. I don't know if Jeff's still here, but, you know, Mr. he tried to fake a field goal or something and fell on the ground. And he now, you know, I watched that game, man, and Dallas was actually pretty good. And that's when Alex was like green and he was horrible. And I think I was with Kevin. Me and Kevin saw that game. And
then
Yeah, I got memories of that stadium, man.
Well, that's like that. I would love to see if Washington. I know that there's talk that Washington, the primary location for their new stadium is going to be Virginia. But I would love to see him go back to RFK. I know it's not feasible because RFK is falling apart. But my God, the memories in that stadium when Washington, the fans were just on their feet. I was there for the last game of this in that stadium. And when they won, because I think it was we beat Dallas, which that was even better. But every single fan ran to the field. We were and just you're ripping chunks of turf off out of the ground as memorabilia. Like, and I found out actually the Metrodome for the Vikings old stadium. There's a section of the seats that are actually at the high school stadium at the high school down here where I live.
Nice, that is nice.
So there are some of the old seats when the roof collapsed. Before they got the new stadium. So, but all I can say is when Washington gets their new stadium, Virginia, that'll be the year we go to the Super Bowl.
Folks, look for the massacre. 20 Christmas Eve Niners versus the Commanders.
If Washington loses, we won't have a show the next week. We might, but Jeff Ray might be the only one on there. Because yeah. I'm gonna have to be a no show, or I'm gonna have the paper bag. I'm gonna have to break out the old Washington paper bags that we used to have when the team was starting to fall apart.
We'll see, man. I don't even honestly know who's gonna be the quarterback, man.
Yeah, for both teams. Who knows who will be quarterback for both teams? But yeah. So I think that's where we'll wrap it up, guys. We will be back next week. I'm sure we'll be able to, you know, I can guarantee we're going to touch base with whatever the outcome of the Deshaun Watson situation is, because as we stated earlier, they will have a decision made by the end of the week.
Don't get this man a gear. Make an example out of him. Show him just because you're a big time quarterback, that you just can't do that to women. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, and on that note, guys, we will see you all next week.
San Diego Sportscast.
Yep. Make sure, guys, also, every day there's something going on Sportscast, whether it's basketball, soccer, sure there'll be there football. There's more football on Thursdays with Victor Orocho. God, I can't keep track of everything. They keep adding new shows every time. Every time I turn around, there's something new they're talking about. So,
go Birmingham.
Yep. All right. So, with you guys, we'll see you on the next one.